पावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीश्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीश्वरम्। ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आन शृण्वन्नुक्तिभिः सीदसादनम्। ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षवेल्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः सुष्ठुवागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। हरि ओम। सो इन दिस गणपति अथर्व शीर्ष उपनिषद विच वॉज कंपोज बाय और रिवील्ड टू गणक ऋषि इन हिज मेडिटेशन ही टॉक्स अबाउट आफ्टर द शांति मंत्र दी इज इन्वोकेशन टू गणपति वेर ही सेज यू आर तत्वमसि यू आर दैट सुप्रीम रियालिटी यू आर द क्रिएटर सस्टेनर एंड डिस्ट्रॉयर ऑफ दिस यूनिवर्स एंड प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट मी प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट द टीचर प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट ऑल गिवर्स ऑल वंस हु गिव And please protect me from all sides, from the west, the east, the north, the south, everywhere. And then he says, Oh Ganpati, you are the Vangmaya, you are the essence of sweet speech, and you are Anandamaya, you are the bliss manifest, that Satchidanand Brahman you are, and you are non-dual. And you are Jnanamaya, Vijnanamaya, you are the knowledge and the application of knowledge. So this is where we have studied so far. We'll continue from here. Harshaben, you want to chant number 5 on page 24 of Vedic chants.
32 in this Ganapati.
सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते या
Sorry.
लक्ष्मी
What was the number? Number
इट इज
five.
फाइव
Five.
नंबर फाइव
Five. Okay.
या यू सेड फोर
Yeah.
सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते
सर्वजगदिदं त्वत्त्वो जायते
सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति
सर्वजगदिदं त्वत्स्ति पतिस्तति
तिष्ठति सर्वं सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति
सर्वं जगदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति
सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति
सर्वे जगदिदं त्वये प्रत्येति
त्वं भूमिरापो नलो नीलो नभः
त्वं भूमिराहोपनलोडनिलो नभः
त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि
त्वचत्वारि वाक्पदानि
Okay, thank you. So he says, whatever they see, Jagat, Jagat, Guruji says, Jagat Jayate Gachati Tishtati. Jagata. So Ja means that which is created, Ga means that which goes, and Tishtati means that which is sustained. So Sarvam Jagadidam Tvatto Jayate. This whole universe, this entire universe, not only the physical, but the mental, intellectual, emotional, all the worlds are arisen from you. And Sarvam Jagadidam, this world that I call Idam. So the Raman Maharishi ji says everything can be divided into Aham and Idam. Aham means I, this consciousness. Idam means this whole universe, including this body, mind, intellect is also Idam, because I see this body, this mind, somebody else's body, but also my own body. So Jagadidam, so all this whole universe, Tvattah Tishthati, in you it stays. And Sarvam Jagadidam Tvayi Layam Ashyati. So Sarvam Jagadidam, all this world, Tvayi, in you, Laya. Laya means it merges back into you, Ashyati. Then Sarvam Jagadidam Tvayi Pratyeti, Sarvam Jagadidam, this whole universe, Tvayi, in you, Pratyeti. Pratyeti has two or three couple of meanings. One is it merges into you and comes back. That is one meaning. Pratyeti is also in as an appearance, interpreted that it is an appearance in you. And then Tvam Bhumihi, Bhumi earth, Apaha water, Anala fire, Anila air, and Nabha space. So earth, water, fire, air, space, everything you are. And Tvam Chatvari Vaak Padani, you are the four types of speech. What are the four types of speech? We only know one speech, but our rishis have divided speech into four parts. So let us see, when we talk about all creation, what it means is that he is the material cause and the efficient cause, and also the instrumental cause. So Ganpati alone was, and then with that knowledge of creation from Ganpati himself manifested as this whole universe. So the efficient cause is he, the material cause is he, and also the instrumental cause. And it is said that anything that has the same material and efficient cause as one, that has to be an illusion. So this is something that needs a little thinking. It took me a while also to understand that. So Guruji gives an example of the dream. Just as in the dream, I am the efficient cause and I am the material cause. From my mind itself came the dream. So the mind is the material cause and mind is also the efficient cause. And an efficient and material cause, in when it is one, it is an illusion. Now, in the case of creation, how do we say the creation is an illusion? Because Bhagwan or Ishvara, or here Lord Ganpati, is the efficient cause that everybody believes, right? Even the Bible says, even all the scriptures say that he created the universe, you know, in 7 days and so on. So he is the efficient cause. But if you say that there was something else as a material cause, that means who created that material? So the material was lying somewhere and Ganpati found that material and put it together. That doesn't make sense. So himself became the material cause. And for a Krishna Bhakta, it would be Krishna is the material, or Vishnu is the material and efficient cause. For a Shiva Bhakta, it would be Lord Shiva. So when the creator himself became the world, but you don't see the creator, you see this variety, even though there is one non-dual, immutable self, unchanging, but appears to divide, appears to multiply, appears to change, even though a non-changing Brahman appears to change, because we are all changing, you know, in our body, in our mind, in our intellect. So that changing appearance upon that non-changing Brahman has to be an illusion. So that's why when the material and efficient cause is the same, it is an illusion. I hope that was clear to everybody.
So clay pot.
Yeah, like a clay and a pot. You know, the as far as the clay is concerned, as far as the pot is concerned, you say, oh, I was a pot. First, I was not a pot. Then I was created a pot. And then I broke. And now I am no longer a pot. I died. So that is our state. I was not there. Now I am there. Now I am dead. You know, that is our state. But as far as the clay is concerned, the clay says that there was nothing. I alone was. The pot was an illusory appearance upon me. As far as the clay concerned, it's clay and clay and clay alone. Pot is just a temporary appearance. So same way, this
on this
on this
existence
consciousness, this world is an appearance, just as the pot is an appearance upon the clay. And creation cannot happen by itself. There has to be a creator. They say, oh, you know, there was a big bang and suddenly the universe came into being. How can the universe create itself? There has to be an intelligent creator. It's like you put atta and you just leave it there and say, okay, roti make by itself. It's not going to happen. Nowadays, of course, we have roti makers.
But in that also,
there has to be an intelligent being who has to program it. It doesn't. And in the beginning, you start making roti, it makes all different shapes, the shape of India, the shape of, and then ultimately the lady slowly with practice becomes round, and then she puts it nicely and it blows up, and it's called fulka, you know, fool, it blows up, fulka. So same way, this world has to have an intelligent creator. A surgeon cannot leave a scalpel and say, okay, cut this patient's stomach and take out his cancer. No. The scalpel has to have an intelligent surgeon to hold it. So same way, this universe, which is expanding, 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 and scientists say one day the universe will end, will stop expanding. But the source is infinite. So infinite, maybe this universe will end, but new universes will come. They say there are crores of Brahmas. There are millions of universes. Like ours, that's how vast this whole creation is. And that's why in Vishnu Sahasranama, the first name is Vishwam. Vishwam Vishnu Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. So why Vishwam before Vishnu? Because Vishnu is unmanifest. We can't see Vishnu. But Vishwam I can see. So from the known, you go to the unknown. You cannot start from the unknown and then try to figure out the known. So that's what they say. When you see this world, you see that as Vishwam, who is a manifestation of Vishnu. So same way, this world has come from you, Ganpati, and everything is you. And once everything is you, then I cannot hate anybody. Okay, you may not love everybody, but can you hate anyone? No, you cannot, because the moment you say, I hate, hate is a strong word, that means I'm hating something which is divine. Like a snake, you can't say, oh, I don't love snake, you know, I can't go and hold, but at least don't hate it. You know, it's because, and that's why in our gods, all the animals are kept. The snake is around Lord Shiva's neck, he rides a bull, Mother Saraswati rides a swan, Kartikeya rides a peacock. So that the idea is that all beings are essentially divine. So that is the manifestation, that all the world from you jayate, from you it is created. Then the second part is sarvam jagadidam tvatta tishthati, stays in you. What does it mean that the world stays in you? That means I am not the general manager of this universe. I am not taking care. There is somebody else handling. So you don't need to tell God how to do his job. We say, oh, this is, should be like that, that. What is your job? Do your swadharma. Wherever you are, do your best and do it as an instrument of the Lord. What, wherever I am, whatever job I have been assigned, whatever my sex, my color, my race, whichever country I am in, whichever, I should do my best and do what is my dharma. Don't try to do somebody else's dharma, because everybody is important. The example they gave is, there may be a very fancy machine and say a screw, an important screw has fallen off, which is holding two parts of the machine together. Now the cleaning crew comes, oh, this is an insignificant screw, throws it away in the trash. But then next day when they try to run the machine, those two parts are not working in unison because one little screw fell out. So similarly, you and I are like that little screw. Wherever we are, do our job best. Why should we do our job? Why should we do our, that's why even in the 18th chapter, we are studying in Bhagavad Gita on Sunday, Swadharme Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha. So do what is your dharma, do what is your duty. That is how you evolve. That's what Bhagavan says. By doing karma yoga, you purify your mind and then you can evolve to the higher knowledge. And Swadharma, everybody, this Kaliya story, everybody knows, where Bhagavan Sri Krishna hit that ball. You know, cricket was not invented in Britain. Even in those times, the ball up threw the ball and Krishna hit it with a stick, and he hit it deliberately into the water because Kaliya was poisoning the water. Everybody knows the story. And he then, sat on Kaliya's head, stood on Kaliya's head and came out. He defeated him. And then he takes the ball and then tells Kaliya, don't stay in this any river, go and stay in the ocean. And he kind of gets angry with him. So he says, Bhagwan, look. This is there in the Bhagavad. He says, Bhagwan, who made me? You did. Who gave me the poison? You did. Who made the rule that when the poison becomes full, it has to come out? You made the rule. I didn't do that. All I did was do my Swadharma. And in doing my Swadharma, I am so blessed because those feet of yours, which yogis meditate for years and years, you stood on my head with those feet. So I was able to get the blessings of your feet just by doing my Swadharma. This actually dialogue I had not heard. So the Kaliya says, I was doing what I was supposed to do. And in doing that, I got the blessing. So that is what they say. Do your work thoroughly, correctly, to the best of your ability. That is Tvatta Tishthati. And then Sarvam Jagadidam Tvai Layameshyati merges back into you. So what do we mean by Pralaya? So they say, oh, you Hindus are what? You even worship a god that is a destructive god that destroys the universe. But this creation, sustenance, destruction is a continuous recycling process. The old has to be removed to make place for the new. And we also do that every day. You say, well, what do you mean I do that? See, when you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, this is my house, my son, my property, my car, my husband, my this, my that. And then at night, when you go to sleep, where is all that my? There is no my house, my son, my husband, my property, nothing. So same way. So you create my world. I create my world in the morning and then I sustain it throughout. Okay, this is my house. This is my kitchen. This is. And then when I go to sleep, it merges back into me. And where do we resume from where we had started? So last night, say if I had started a project which was half finished, I get up in the morning, continue. Like I'm reading a book, and while reading a book, I fall asleep. So when I wake up, do I start the book from the beginning? No, from the where I had already read it up to there. So similarly, this whole universe, in our case, our mind goes into laya and our world goes into laya. Same way, pralaya is where this whole universe becomes unmanifest. So which was the manifest universe becomes unmanifest. That's why it's called prakarshena laya. And that pralaya is, that is also Bhagwan Ganpati in this case. So he is the cause of creation, sustenance, and layam eshyati. And then, as we said, sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti. Pratyeti means, as we said, one is it manifests back. It became unmanifest into you. And when the new creation starts, that's what they say, all the jivas, all of us, if we go into this pralaya state, then you have, that is, after that is a night of Brahmaji, which is 4 billion years. So all the beings remain unmanifest for 4 billion years and then manifest again exactly where they had gone, all their vasanas, all their desires, nothing goes away. Or it could be the next life, you know, when I give up this life, I continue with my karmas, my vasanas. So that's why they say, instead of going through this pralaya and laya and all, in this life itself, with this knowledge and with Puja Gurudev's wisdom, realize so that you don't have to go back into this. And that's why all great Mahatma say, Twameva Sharanam Mama, you know, Madhavacharya ji also says that you are my only Sharanam, you are my only abode, and that alone is my true nature. And just like the wave, you know, wave rises from the ocean, merges back into the ocean. So how do I practically apply this when you're faced with an emotion or when you're faced with a thought and your mind is very disturbed by this emotion? Understand that I am the consciousness in whom this emotion is arising. Could be an emotion of joy, emotion of sorrow, emotion of anger. So they said, do not become an angry person, but watch the anger. Okay, now in me, anger has arisen. Now sorrow has arisen. Now joy has arisen. So then the waves of up and down will not affect you if you become a witness. So I am the consciousness in whom these waves of joy and sorrow are arising, these waves of... So that is the understanding. That is how you apply that. And there is another saying called Guna Firai Hai. There was a Prannaji in the a few hundred years back who said that all your gunas, direct them towards God. Good or bad, direct them. So if I have anger, direct them towards God. Then why am I not able to meditate and pray like others? If you have jealousy, I should be as great a bhakta as him. Desire, again, desire towards God. I should, today I did one mala, tomorrow I should do two, third day I should do three. So all my, even my negative qualities, when they are directed towards God, they become divine. And the whole Purush Suktam talks about that. Brahmano mukham mukhasyasi bahu rajanya krita. Everything came from that, you know, tasmat ashva jayanta. So everything came from that one Purusha, that one consciousness. Now he talks about tamam bhumi apa anala anila nabaha. You are all five. You are the space, air, fire, water, earth.
Wonderful.
Then he says, Tvam chatvari va padani. You are the four kinds of speech.
Yeah,
so what are the four kinds of speech? So they say it is para, pashyanti, madhyama, and vaikari. So para means the unmanifest speech. So that which is unmanifest, which is has not yet manifested. And then you desire to say something. So a vague thought comes in your mind. And that is called pashyanti. Pashyanti. And then next is madhyama. Madhyama means now that thought has become solidified. Okay, this is exactly what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him off or whatever. And then when you actually speak, that is vaikari. In spirituality, these four are translated as the, like when you are chanting, say all of you do chanting for half an hour, that is vaikari, but that is loud chanting. But when you do soft chanting, which only you can hear, that becomes madhyama. And then pashyanti is when the chanting is going on, not loud, not even whisper, but silent chanting in the mind. Is called pashyanti. And what is para? Para is the state of these Mahatmas who, even not willing it, constantly they are chanting that. Even in their deep sleep, their mind is calm. That much they have trained themselves. There was a great saint in South India, Shiva Brahmendra Saraswati. Some of you may have heard a lot of his stories. He had done so many miracles. But one time some children wanted to go to a fair, which was 100 miles away, and they couldn't afford, didn't have the money. So they come to him, and so he meditates and transports them all. They spend the whole day in the fair and bring them back. So there was an incident in his life about this para, where one time the Nizam was passing by and he didn't care. He was just walking. Everybody was bowing down and saluting the Nizam. And Swamiji did not do it. So Nizam said, cut off his hand, because he refused to salute. So he just gives his hand. He cuts it off. It falls to the ground. He just walking away. And it fell in front of Nizam. So Nizam picked up the hand to see, you know, and the hand was still chanting that Shiva mantra. He said, oh, he got scared. So he got down from his chariot, ran after him. He says, your hand, it didn't bother you? He said, no, you cut it. It's fine. So he gives it to him. He holds it and reattaches it. And the hand is still chanting that. And another time, this Shiva Brahmendra Saraswati ji was sleeping on a riverbank. And this man walks by and says, hey, move, move. Look, I am old, you move me. You know, that's a similar story. So he holds his hand and tries to move, and the hand is chanting that Om Namah Shivaya. And it so happened that Swamiji left, and next day this man went back to the river bank, and he sits on the same place, and that river bank is chanting that Om Namah Shivaya. So that is the glory of these masters, where they are constantly chanting. And that is the creation, is that Pancha Mahabhuta. Everybody knows that, you know, so we won't go into that. The one point we can talk about, what is the difference between Ishwara's creation and Jiva's creation? We also create our world. Ishwara also creates Ishwara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. So they say Ishwara Srishti is Ichha Jnana Kriya. That means, Ichha means like when Bhagwan Ishwara became as Brahmaji, decided to create the universe. It we studied also in Bhagavat this week. It is currently coming. He did tapa for years. He did tapas, and then finally, as a result of that tapas, he got the knowledge. So Ichha, Jnana, and then he created this variety. Our case is different. We get Ichha, and then we directly do the kriya without getting jnana in between. And after we do it, are yaar, I shouldn't have done it. Then we get the jnanam. So first you get ichha, kriya, and then jnanam. And then next time, are pichli baar bhi yehi hua tha. Last time also I made the same mistake. He said, why do you do it? He said, at least I am regretting it, you know. At least. So that is our problem, that Ichha and Kriya. Or we get Ichha and Jnanam, but no Kriya. I want to do this, but, you know, so that but that I can't do it. So all three are required, Ichha, Jnana, and Kriya. And that's what Gurudev said in his first address to the UN, where he said that this universe is a cosmos, is not a chaos. So that is the very famous talk which he gave to the UN, that this world is a planet in crisis. That's the one. Planet in Crisis was the first. There is a DVD also available on that, where the first talk he gave at the UN, that was many, many years ago. And where he said that this verse is a cosmos, not a krios, chaos. So from now from today onwards, when you, after this lecture, when somebody asks you, have you seen God? You say, yes, I see God as clearly as I see you. Remember Ramakrishna said, so you can also say, I see God in the computer. I see God in the wall. Yes. So we are all realized now. So, So you can all say that also after this talk. Yeah, I see God. I see God everywhere. And Then the Westerners also say, you Hindus have so many paths, you have so many gods, and there is, you know, there should be one book, one prophet, one way, that's it. You know, Bible or Quran, that is it. One book, one prophet, one way. That is why you have so many gods and so many ways. So the answer I heard from Swamiji very well, he gives, he says, like when you go to a grocery store, how many toothpaste are there? There is one for tartar, one for plaque, one for mint, one for antibacterial, 6 hour, 12 hour, 24 hour. Why? So you have all the variety, you know, you have different flavors, different, like bread, you know, there used to be only one bread. Now there is white bread, brown bread, 7 grain, 3 grain, 12 grain, multi-grain, you know, bagel, all the varieties are there. So whatever you like, you can choose. So that's why our rishis have given us this entire variety of paths. Why? Because they say as many people, that many paths. So each one is free to choose. I mean, there are four main, you know, karma yoga, bhakti, jnana, and tapa yoga, this hatha yoga. But within that, there are so many varieties. So each one of us, and we can see even amongst all of us, each one has a different way of approaching this truth. Some through bhajan, some through bhakti, some through jnana, some through yoga, some through meditation. So as many people, that many paths. And everywhere that Bhagwan is appearing, just as in the US, where is the US government? It's everywhere. If you want to invoke the US government, say there is a crime, you call 911 and the US government comes as a cop. Or if you want some passport, you go to the passport office, it manifests as the clerk. So similarly, as Bhagwan manifests this whole creation as the sustainer, creator, and destroyer of this universe that you are. So you are that, you and everything you are. And why do we chant the name of the Lord? Because they say chanting of the name is like a jihva avatar, means God has manifested on your tongue. So chant the name of the Lord. That's why they used to name their children after gods, you know, Narayana, Rama, Lakshmi, Saraswati. So that every time you say, Are Rama, you are not listening to me, at least you are remembering God. But what we have done, we have shortened the name. Narayana becomes Nick and Krishna becomes Chris. So the whole purpose of naming, so they say, name your children after God so that at least that time, you will remember God. So that is shloka number 5. Now we'll do shloka number 6. Sujata, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Vama guna trayatitaha.
Tvam guna trayatitaha.
Tvam avastha trayatitaha.
Tvam avastha trayatitaha.
Tvam deha trayatitaha.
Tvam deha trayatitaha.
Tvam kala trayatitaha.
Tvam kala trayatitaha.
Yeah, we'll stop here. The rest of it we'll do next week. So what is the meaning of tvam guna trayatitaha means you are beyond the three gunas. That's what Bhagwan, even in the 14th chapter, he talks about the qualities of a one, you know, because Arjuna asks, what are the qualities of one who has gone beyond gunas, guna trayatitaha. So Bhagwan describes the qualities of this person and we'll talk some of those. So it says that you are beyond the three gunas, then you are beyond the three avasthas, tray avastha. Avastha means waking, dream, and deep sleep. So you are beyond those three. Then, tvam deha trayatitaha, you are beyond the three dehas. We have three bodies. You say, what? We have only one. No, actually, we have three. The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. The gross body is this visible body made of food. Subtle body is also made of food, but it is the mind and intellect and the sense organs. And then the causal body is the vasanas. So the three bodies, you are beyond those. And then tvam kala trayatitaha, you are beyond the three periods of time. Three periods of time which we divide into past, present and future. You are beyond all those. So what do we mean by you are beyond gunas? How do we go beyond gunas? So they say the way to go beyond gunas, because guna are, you know, the tamas is gross and rajas, and then sattva is the subtlest. And of course, the Lord is beyond the three gunas, because gunas are of prakriti and Lord is the purusha, the consciousness, in whom these gunas appear, entire prakriti appears. But for us to go beyond gunas, what do we mean in a practical way is that express the guna that is required at that moment. So when I wake up in the morning, my mind is quiet, then it is in a sattvic mode, then do sattvic activities, do some meditation, you know, chanting the name of the Lord, mala, japna, or something like that. So wake up with a sattvic mind. Don't wake up in the morning and immediately pick up the phone and see, you know, the news or the stock market, but spend some time in meditation. Then when it comes time to act, be active, then do the all the whatever work is required. And then at the end of the day, tamas is to withdraw, how to withdraw from the activity. And that is very important. So when you wake up, your mind should be fresh. People say, you know what, I need some tea or coffee, or I need that 5-hour, you know, energy drink, you know, to get me going. No, if I have had a good night's sleep, my mind should be fresh, should be ready to go. And at the end of the day, the ability to withdraw from the mind, and if not able to withdraw, is that is called Abhimanyu syndrome. You know, Abhimanyu knew how to get into Chakravyuh, but then his father had not taught him how to withdraw, because according to that story when Arjuna was telling. So same way, we know how to get involved, but when to withdraw. Okay, now my work is done. I should be able to withdraw when my presence is not required. That is called being in control of the gunas, using the right guna at the right time. And there's a famous story of King Janaka where he said that, everybody might have heard it, but he woke up one morning and he had dreamt that he was a beggar who for 3-4 days had no food. He was hungry, walking the street, everybody was kicking him. And then he calls all his courtiers, you know, to the court, and he says, they were all in his court, all were great masters. You know, his court was filled with all great scholars, unlike our Congress, which is filled with all different, we don't want to name them. But the point is that everybody in his court was great. And so he asked them, you know, that what is real? Am I the king who was dreaming I was a beggar? Or am I the beggar who at this moment is dreaming I am this king? So all the people were there, and then Ashtavakra, who was the youngest, was the most advanced. He said, King, you are neither. The waker and the dreamer are both projections of your mind. There is no reality. The only reality is that Brahman, that consciousness, that alone you are. So even Gaudapadacharya ji in Mandukya says the same thing. There are only two states. The deep sleep state, that is the inactive mind, and the active mind. So waking and dream, he puts in the same category. So he says that you are, that you are that. Then he talks about kala trayatitaha, you are beyond the three periods of time. So time in our case, you know, is six. You know, asti jayate vardhati parinamyate apakshiyate and vinashyati. So a child is born, then he grows, And then he outgrows his diapers. He wants needs bigger diaper. Then the teenager grows, and then he takes all the father's nice shirts because he has now grown big enough to wear the father's shirts, and father is angry. Then, you know, he changes, you know, the boy becomes into a man, girl becomes into a woman, and then apakshiyate, then slowly he goes down. And everything, you know, is creaking. The knees are creaking and hips are creaking. So when you walk, it is all musical. And then there is this story where this lady, old lady, tells her husband, "Oh, honey, when you are in the bathroom, can you please clean my teeth and bring them?" He said, "Today is not my day to clean the teeth. It's your job." So, that is apakshiyate. And then when he stands up, he doesn't want to sit down, because if he sits down, dubara utna is another problem. So that is called apakshiyate. And what is the body? Chalti ka naam gaadi. You know, you watch it. Okay, the body is functioning. Let it function. I am the sakshi. I am the witness. I am the witnessing consciousness. And in my presence, all this is happening. So all the six changes of the body are happening. Just watch them. And then whatever problems come, you take care of them, whatever medicine is required, but it's without getting internally disturbed, internally affected, because I am the sakshi. But what happens is that an emotion arises. We identify with the emotion first and then think afterwards. So they say emotion has come, watch it and do not get involved. You say, "Oh, my mind is filled with so much kachara. You know, there is so much dirt in my mind." Let it come and go. It's like dirty water is flowing. Do you dip your head in it? No, you don't, unless you are a child. A child will do that. You say water is... So similarly, kachara is going through. There may be good and bad thoughts, angry thoughts, sad thoughts. Just be a witness, be a sakshi, and let them be there, but let me not get involved. And then people ask, you know, what came first? Karma came first or vasanas came first? The first creation, when did that happen? You know, and people think, "I've got Swamiji now. He's not going to be able to answer." Everybody asks this question. The first creation, when did it happen? He say it is a result of ignorance. And ignorance is anadi. When did ignorance first start? So as a result of ignorance, the world came. So because of the ignorance of my true nature, this world came. And so it's all beginningless, endless. Then this is a very beautiful point. Tvam kala trayatitaha. I'll spend a little time talking about it. So we identify kala as past, present, and future. So, okay, yesterday this happened. Now this is the present. And now it will be the future. But if I ask you, what time is it now? You say it's 1:14 and 20 seconds. Say that if your watch has second. But by the time you say 20 seconds, it has already become 25 seconds. So where is the now? You say, "Oh, no, now it's 1:14:25. No, by the time you say it, it is 30. So time is continuously flowing. So they say live in the present. But there is no present. You know, there is this live in the now and live in the present. Actually, there is no present. It is all relative. So I heard a very, very beautiful example which
presence,
explains.
It is presence.
It is the presence. Is the presence in which this time is happening. But time is relative. And I heard a very beautiful example. Say you are standing on a street and you see cars coming. You say, "Okay, the red car is coming. It comes, it was coming, it is here in front of me, it is gone." So future, red car was coming, it is here, and it went, past. So future, present, past, you can see blue car is coming, black car. But suppose a person is standing on the 10th floor, the top floor of that building, which is the highest building in that neighborhood. Now for him, the red car is all one. It is not that it was coming, is gone. He sees all three at the same time because he is able to. For a person sitting on the ground, okay, car is coming, was coming, is gone. But he's from the top, he sees all three at one time. The car came and went. He is beyond all three. So that's what they say, that to go beyond time, you have to elevate your mind. Our mind, which is at this moment caught in the time, you know, or and then we regret, array, I shouldn't have done that. Or we are sitting for meditation and mind is all running into the future. What will I do after meditation? That is a very common problem. So they say that to rise above time is to become one with that consciousness, that in me, all this time is happening. Past, present, and future is happening in me, that one consciousness. And so there is no time, it is. So Ganpati is means existence. In that existence, all this past, present, future is happening. And the awareness of that is chit. You know, we had studied last time also. I know that I exist. So that awareness which knows everything is chit. And anand is that infinite joy. Because this world came out of bliss, did not come out of sorrow, did not come out of misery, but came out of joy. Because the Lord joyfully created this beautiful world. That's why even in Bible, they say he created the Garden of Eden and then he put Adam and Eve there to enjoy and experience, but then we made this world into a mess. So that is the teaching of these three gunas, and that this whole world is, how do you go beyond it? So they say, just as in the ocean the waves are rising and falling, if you are on the surface you will get affected. A wave comes, you will get pushed. But if you go deep within the ocean, then you can see that the waves are rising and falling, but not affecting me like a scuba diver or a person standing on the ocean, on the beach or on the banks of the river, is not affected by the flow of the river or not affected by the waves of the ocean. So when you identify with that consciousness, that is me, and that the changeless substratum, then you can enjoy the beauty of this world and see that the world is happening, whatever is happening, but I am above that, I am outside that. So that's what they say, be a witness, be a sakshi, and watch the world and know that my true nature is that supreme consciousness, and in me the whole world arises. That's what in Kaivalya Upanishad, the student, once he has understood from the teacher, he says, Mayeva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishtitam, mai sarvam layam yati, tad brahma dvayam asmiham. I am that non-dual Brahman, and in me, this world is arising, this world is expressing, and the world merges back into me. So this is what we have studied so far. Anybody has any questions or comments about this? A lot of it is repeat, but as I had also said in my Tuesday class, I'll repeat that some of the people were not there, but they say that just as when there is a hard piece of wood and the carpenter needs to hammer, he has to hit hard till finally the nail goes deep. It's a very important, good example. So same way, our brain is like that hard wood, and the rishi has to keep hammering till finally the knowledge goes within. So repeated listening is good for making that knowledge my knowledge. So that's why again and again and again and again, all the scriptures talk the same truth. There is only one truth, but by repeated listening, it will get firmly established in the mind, just like the nail gets firmly hit in the wood and becomes one with the wood. So same way this knowledge has to become one. So that is the idea of this repeated listening. And all the Upanishads we'll be doing next, Kain Upanishad, Katho Upanishad, the end result of all of them is the same. Vedanta, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Anta means the what is the end point of Vedanta, what is that which Vedanta, which the Vedas are indicating. So Upanishads are called Vedanta. One is because they come at the end of the Upanishad. Second is the goal of the Upanishad is to reveal that highest truth. So all the Upanishads show us that highest truth. And so does this Ganpati Atharvashirsha Upanishad. We can end here. Anybody has any questions, comments? Yeah, Sujata. Yeah. No, okay, Lata. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sujata.
No, she does. Her just phone was unmuted. Yeah.
Oh, okay. When you said go about the three times,
right,
present, past, and future, so stand still in time. What do you mean by that?
Yes, stand still.
No, what it means is
time
that
is between the two events.
Yeah, time is between two events. So like that's
right.
Why they call it the second. Like if in deep sleep, you sleep for 6-7 hours, you don't know time has passed until you wake up and check the clock. Oh, I slept for 7 hours or 8 hours or 6 hours. But when my mind is active, then time is going through. That's what they say. A mother who is watching a child with high fever and she's staying awake all night and checking his temperature and giving him Tylenol. For her, the night passes very slow. But somebody who is in deep sleep, the night passes. So time is relative. Time is depending on the number of thoughts. If I have too many thoughts, then time can disturb me. So they say that make your mind relatively quiet. That's why in meditation, if your mind is quiet, then you go beyond time. Then you don't know how long I was there in meditation. That's why these people in samadhi can stay for years, you know, in without any change. And they describe all this Valmiki and everybody who for years could stay in samadhi where ants grew around him. So when they say go beyond time, means you understand that time is a sequence of events happening. But in me, the consciousness, there is no time. Time is only in the world. But if I am a part of the world, yes, I get affected. My body will be affected by time. My body will change. My mind will change. My intellect will change. But when you identify with that supreme consciousness, that is who I really am. In me, there is time. It's not that time was there and then I came and at some particular time I was born. Yes. And then I means there's, yes, an individual, Lata, yes, there was a particular date and a particular time and a particular year. But as the consciousness, I was never born and I never died. That's why even in second chapter, Natvevaham Jatu Nasam, Bhagavan says, you know, we just studied in the chanting, that there was never a time I was not there, you were not there, and these kings were not there. And there is never a time when they will not be there. So Natvam Neme Janadipaha. So that means all of us are eternal. All of us are eternal. But to identify with the eternal is to go beyond time. If you identify with the changing body, that I am this body, then when the body declines, you will be declining. You will be sorrowful. I am declining. But I am the consciousness and the body's nature is to decline. Body is not going to stay forever. You know, mind also, the nature of the mind is to fluctuate in joys and sorrows, the nature of the intellect. So if you identify with this body, yes, then time will affect you. If you identify with the consciousness, then let the body come and go. That is the nature of the body. Bhagavan says, if you say that, okay, people are perishing and dying, he said, that is the nature of, you know, whatever is created has to perish. So either way, you go beyond time.
Correct.
And identify, as Neeru said, with the presence. which is constantly present in the past, present, and future. Because otherwise, there is no such thing as the present time. As I said, what is the time right now? 1:26 and 25 seconds. Now, by the time you say it, it becomes 30 seconds, 40 seconds. So there is no present.
Mm-hmm.
Time is constantly changing. So identify with the presence that is constant.
Right, right. Okay. So and I had one other question.
Yeah.
On four kinds of speech you had said.
Yes.
Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, and Vaikari.
Right.
So the three I understood, that silent speech, Pashyanti, Madhyama is soft chanting, and Vaikari is loud speaking, right. When what I'm doing. Para, but it is unmanifest.
Yeah. So what happens is when these great Mahatmas, the chanting becomes so continuous that even in their deep sleep, mm-hmm. their para chanting is going on. That's why I told the story of that Mahatma
whose
hand was cut and the hand was still chanting. It means the chanting was constantly going on, even in deep sleep, even when he's not aware. So one is loud chanting, one is soft chanting, one is chanting in the mind. And the fourth is automatic chanting, which happens
Guru
constantly.
Says all these three rest in para.
Yeah, all these three rest in para.
Para,
in the just as from the unmanifest creates the manifest world, so from para, these other three are manifesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So para is the unmanifest. Yes.
So in that unmanifest speech, so there is the words are already there in that.
Yes. Yes, but they are unmanifest.
Yeah.
They are unmanifest. And then when I start thinking, this is what I'm going to say, and then you have a vague idea that is Pashyanti. And then when the idea becomes clear, oh, this is exactly what I'm going to say, that is Madhyama. And then when it expresses, it's
Madhyama. I did read the description.
Yeah. How beautifully our rishis have classified everything.
I know. Very good.
Even speech, you know, we never think there are four kinds of speech. So
right, and the opening prayer is Bhadram Shrunu. So hearing first is the key.
Right.
Then comes the speech.
Right.
That's my understanding of it. That how would you otherwise identify something if it's not told to you that this is what this is.
Exactly.
So,
that's what they say, na? There are pramanams, right? The shabd pramanam is the maximum means that with which we learn. See?
Right.
Pramanam means the means of knowledge, right?
Correct.
So means of knowledge is mostly shabd praman. In shabd praman also there are two. Laukik Shabd Pramanam and then our book.
Laukik.
The
Laukik means worldly knowledge.
Also, where do we get the knowledge from? Newspaper, from books, from listening to on the TV and all that. We get the knowledge from there, right? And then the spiritual knowledge, we get it from our Vedas and from our Upanishads and all.
Yes. So that's why they say, hear what is auspicious, so then you will speak auspicious.
Correct. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Anything else? No, nobody else. Okay, we'll end. It's 1:30. And I think we'll probably finish this either in two or three classes. And then by the end of May, it should be done. And then, or maybe first Monday in June, then we'll take a couple of months break till August 20th is when Bal Vihar starts. So then August 22nd, but we'll finish this text and then take a break for the summer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. In the summer, you can listen to previous talks on Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads on firstpower.info. I'll put that on the WhatsApp. So if you click on that, you can listen to all the previous talks. Thank you. Hari Om.